Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1997. The Women of Monte Cassino.
Hello. It seems that every time I pick up a newspaper, I read about a new claim the Jews are making on someone else's money. It began a few months ago when they claimed that the Swiss hadn't been diligent enough in trying to track down the heirs of Jews who had deposited money in Swiss banks back during the 1930s before the Second World War and then never reclaimed it. $7 billion the Jews wanted from the Swiss people, plus interest, of course. And when the Swiss politicians, instead of telling them to go to hell, started negotiating with them and offering them hundreds of millions of dollars, the Jews realized they had a good thing going, and they decided to push it hard. Next, they accused the Swedes of having some gold left over from the Second World War, which should be given to Jews to compensate them for their persecution. Then they went after Argentina and Portugal and France, and eventually the U.S. Treasury as well. In France, they announced that many buildings in Paris and other French cities had belonged to Jews 60 years ago, back before the Second World War, and now they wanted the French to pay them for these buildings, plus interest, of course. Every week, there are new demands for more money to be given to the Jews, more gold. Anyone who scoffs at these Jewish claims is likely to be attacked by the media as an anti-Semite, a neo-Nazi, or worst of all, a Holocaust denier. The whole racket, you see, is based on the Holocaust, on the theory that the Jews have suffered uniquely at the hands of all the rest of us, and so now we owe them, and it is terribly wicked of us, or at least very insensitive, to refuse their demands. Now, I have no doubt that the Jews lost some money during the Second World War. Who didn't? It was a terribly destructive and murderous war. Everyone who was involved in it lost a lot. The Jews, however, are the only ones who seem to believe that the world owes them a living because of it. Perhaps they feel that they're entitled to more because they've made such a big investment in reminding everyone. They have used their control of Hollywood and of the television industry to produce hundreds of films and television episodes to remind us of how they were mistreated by the terrible Germans and the Germans' French and Italian and Polish and Latvian and Lithuanian and Ukrainian helpers, all through no fault of their own, of course. They are the only ones who have persuaded the U.S. government to let them set up a Holocaust museum on public property in Washington. They are the only ones who have pressured corrupt politicians and education officials in a dozen states to require special classes on the Holocaust for all high school students. What these special classes amount to is brainwashing intended to give the Jews a special privileged status in the minds of the students, the status of the world's premier victims, the status of the world's premier blameless sufferers, the status of people to whom the world owes something. Just Jews, no one else. And this is crooked. This is dishonest. We understand why they do it, of course. They tell us that they do it so that we won't forget what terrible things we did to them, how we failed to rescue them from the Germans, and so on. But they also do it because the Holocaust is an immensely profitable racket for them. They suck billions of dollars in guilt money out of the rest of the world every year. But it is dishonest for two reasons. First, it greatly exaggerates the suffering of the Jews. It takes a few basic and indisputable facts. primarily the fact that the Germans did not like having Jews in control of their society and were determined to break their grip on Germany, and did in fact break that grip, sometimes by drastic measures. And it embroiders those basic facts with many, many lies. Lies about soap made from Jewish corpses, and lies about lampshades made from the skin of Jews, and lies about gas chambers in many places where there were no gas chambers, and lies about German soldiers swinging Jewish babies by their legs and bashing out their brains. We should not let the Jews compel the teaching of these lies to our children just so that they can continue sending us on a guilt trip and bleeding the world for as much money as they can get. I was reading a story in the New York Times just a few days ago about a study being conducted at Cambridge University on the fate of part Jews in Germany. And the story quoted a woman who was living in Germany in the 1930s. Her mother was German and her father was a Jew. And she went to the headquarters of the Gestapo in Berlin in 1938 to complain that the government had ordered her father to leave Germany. She said that the Gestapo officers took her into a back office of the headquarters and raped her. Now, I know that didn't happen. A white woman might get raped in a police station in New York or Washington or Chicago today. But the Berlin Gestapo did not rape anybody. Berlin in 1938 was not like New York or Washington, D.C. today. It was an orderly place. It was a proper place with rules. It was a place where women did not have to worry about being raped by the police. Such behavior was unthinkable. But it makes a nice lie to embroider the Holocaust with. There's another reason why this claim by the Jews that the world owes them a living because they are the world's premier victims is crooked. It is crooked because it is associated with the deliberate suppression of the truth about what has happened to other people, in particular about what the Jews and their allies have done to other people. If you want to learn about atrocities, take a look at what the Bolsheviks did in Russia and Ukraine. You've probably heard very vague stories about the mass murder of 30 million kulaks, 30 million Ukrainian and Russian and German farmers by the communists in the 1920s and 1930s, but very few details, I'm sure. This is not taught in the schools, and Hollywood does not make films about this, because the majority of the Bolshevik commissars who supervised this program of mass murder were communist Jews, and their victims were Gentiles. What's the point in reminding the world about that? For the same reason, you do not hear about what the communist secret police did in their torture cells and their execution cells in Poland and in Germany and in Hungary and in Czechoslovakia and elsewhere after the Second World War, when they were making Eastern Europe safe for communism again. You don't hear about it because not only were the victims not Jews, but the torturers and murderers in many cases were Jews. Suppose the relatives, the heirs of all of these non-Jewish victims, organized themselves and began demanding that they be paid compensation for what had been done to them and for what had been stolen from them 55 or 60 or 70 years ago. Well, even if they did, you still wouldn't hear about it, because the people who control the media would make sure that their story didn't get told. Let me tell you about one group of victims, real victims, from the Second World War that you've never heard about for this very reason. In May 1944, the Allies, the forces of democracy and equality, The anti-Nazi and pro-Jewish forces finally succeeded in taking Monte Cassino in the Apennines of central Italy away from the German army after bombing Monte Cassino's 6th century abbey into ruins. The Allies had some Moroccan soldiers with them. They wanted diversity in their armed forces even then. They wanted to demonstrate their belief in racial equality. The Moroccans were only mediocre as fighters, but they really excelled at cutting the throats of prisoners after the fighting was over. They were pretty good at raping civilians, too. The night after the battle for Monte Cassino was over and the Germans had withdrawn in good order, a division of Moroccan soldiers, 12,000 of them, left their camp and swarmed over a group of mountain villages around Monte Cassino. They raped every village woman and girl they could get their hands on, an estimated 3,000 women, ranging in age from 11 years to 86. They murdered 800 village men who tried to protect their women. They abused some of the women so badly that more than 100 of them died. The people of these mountain villages are descended from the ancient Volsci, one of the tribes in pre-Roman Italy, and their women are reputed to be taller and more graceful than other women in that part of Italy. The Moroccan soldiers selected the prettiest girls for gang raping, with long lines of dark-skinned Moroccans waiting their turn in front of each one, while other Moroccans held the victims down. Two sisters, 15 and 18 years old, were raped by more than 200 Moroccans each. One of them died from the abuse. The other has spent the last 53 years in a mental hospital. The Moroccans even raped some of the young men in the villages. The Moroccans also destroyed most of the buildings in the villages and stole everything of value. Interestingly enough, there is no mention of this action by our gallant colored allies from North Africa in most of the histories of the battle for Monte Cassino, which have been published since the war. Not even the official history published by the U.S. War Department mentions what the Moroccans did to these Italian mountain villagers. Jewish policy during and ever since the war has been to ignore any atrocity committed by the people on their side, unless they could blame it on their enemies. For example, the murder by Jewish execution squads belonging to the Soviet secret police of 15,000 Polish officers and intellectuals in 1940 was blamed on the Germans after the advancing German army uncovered the bodies of more than 4,000 of the victims in the Katyn forest. Even years after the end of the war, many elements of the controlled media continued to parrot this lie about German guilt for the Katyn murders. Jewish control of the news media made this easy. And of course, reports of the atrocities committed against the Germans by Soviet forces during and after the war also were suppressed. The horrible mass rapes of German women and young girls and the mass murder of German civilians and prisoners of war were deliberately incited by the Jewish Soviet propaganda commissar Ilya Ehrenberg. This hate-crazed Jewish commissar explicitly urged the Red Army to rape German women and murder German civilians, including children. And they did. But of course, Hollywood has never made a film about these horrible atrocities. And so far as I am aware, none of the heirs of these Polish or German or Italian victims of the pro-Jewish Allies have made any demands on the various Allied governments for restitution. Of all the people who suffered losses during the Second World War, it's only the Jews who are demanding to be paid. Only the Jews who are trying to capitalize on their losses and exaggerating and lying about those losses so that they can inflate their claims for restitution. Of course, It really wouldn't do any of these Poles or Germans or Italians any good to make claims for restitution, because they don't control the media. And without the media to back them up, the politicians would just laugh in their faces. Imagine a delegation of elderly Italian village women from the Monte Cassino area showing up in Washington and claiming restitution from the U.S. government for their horrible experience of being gang-raped by Moroccans 53 years ago. After all, it was an American, General Dwight Eisenhower, who was in charge of the Allied war effort and who therefore had responsibility for the conduct of the Allied soldiers, including the Moroccans. And the Moroccans already had a reputation as a bunch of raping, cutthroat savages, so that even bringing Moroccan soldiers into Europe constituted a war crime and a crime against humanity. But can you imagine any of our politicians even giving these women the time of day? New York Senator Alphonse D'Amato has been beating the drums for the Jews who are demanding gold from the Swiss and the Swedes and everyone else. I'm sure that he would not be so helpful to his fellow Italians. After all, Italians don't own the New York Times. No, these Italian women would be ignored. To claim victim status like the Jews, thereby stealing part of the spotlight from the Jews, would be considered tantamount to anti-Semitism. And to complain about being raped by colored soldiers certainly would smack of racism. When the politicians saw these women coming, they would run in the other direction, and Senator D'Amato would be running faster than all the rest. You know, it may be that this business of Jews extorting a few billion dollars from various governments and banks and insurance companies they claim shortchanged them 60 years ago isn't a big deal. After all, it's only money. But it is, nevertheless, a good illustration, I believe, both of the way the Jews work and of the absolute necessity that we regain control of our mass media. In my view, what was done to those women in the villages around Monte Cassino in May 1944 is a far worse crime than anything the Jews claim happened to them, even if every one of their claims were true. It is also a crime that the news of this terrible atrocity was suppressed. Our children today are being taught a false version of history and are being led to wrong conclusions as a result. Because of this, they are unable effectively to defend their society, their civilization, and their race. They have been given false notions of who their friends are and who their enemies are. And they have been given these false ideas. They have been led to these wrong conclusions for one reason only. And that is because it benefits the Jews. This is a terrible crime. It would justify 100 Nuremberg trials and the hanging of every general, every politician, and every media boss who participated in it. If our people are to survive, we must know what's happening in the world around us. We must know the truth about what has happened to us in the past, not lies designed to benefit the Jews. You know, I harp on this point a lot, but that is because it is of supreme importance. Some people deliberately avoid understanding that. They pretend that it should be of no concern to us who controls our communications media. Someone has to control them, and so it may as well be Jews, they think. How does that hurt us, they ask. We can still get the latest basketball scores. We can still find out what the weather forecast is. We can still watch our favorite game show or situation comedy. Why should we be concerned that it's the Jews providing these things for us instead of someone else? Let me tell you again why we should be concerned. And I'll say it slowly this time. We were not told by the media about what the communists were doing in the Soviet Union in the 1920s and the 1930s because the Jews didn't want us to know. It might turn us against communism. And in the communist Soviet Union, Jews were riding high. The Jews didn't want us to be against communism. So there were no Hollywood films showing Russian and Ukrainian farmers dying of starvation while Jewish commissars ate caviar. Instead, what we got from the mid-1930s on was anti-German films and anti-German propaganda in the newspapers and on the radio. The Jews wanted us to be anti-German because the Germans were kicking the Jews out of Germany. We were lied to so much and for so long that we ended up allying ourselves with the communists in order to destroy the Germans. And in 1943, when the German army discovered the bodies of those 15,000 Polish officers and intellectuals who had been murdered by the communists, the Jewish media over here lied to us again and told us that the Germans had done it. And it was all of these lies which led directly to all of those women in the mountain villages around Monte Cassino being gang-raped by Moroccan soldiers in May 1944. And the same lies led to the gang rape and the mass murder of millions of Germans in the years after that. But for these lies, we never would have been involved in a war in Europe, even with the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. But for these lies, communism would have been crushed in Europe 50 years sooner. But for these lies, the most horrible crimes in history would have been avoided. So it does matter who controls the media. It mattered then, and it matters now, because we're still being lied to. It is the worst sort of irresponsibility to imagine that you will be nice by not noticing what the Jews are doing with the media and by politely accepting all of their Holocaust claims. That is not nice. That is criminal. People who thought like that are partly responsible for all of the crimes of the Second World War. Until we take the media away from the liars, we will blunder into one crime after another and one catastrophe after another. We can't afford many more. Thanks for being with me again today.